Welcome to Heritage Breeds, a podcast series that is brought to you by the Livestock Conservancy, an organization involved in protecting nearly 200 breeds of livestock and poultry. This series will introduce you to the animals, breeders, and people working to save them from extinction. Hello, I'm C.S. Wurzberger, your host. And today, I'm talking with Lisa Steele from Fresh Eggs Daily. And let me tell you, this lady knows her poultry. Not only does she provide advice to over 410,000 Facebook followers, but her blog was named Top 10 Gardening Blogs for 2014 by the Better Homes and Gardens magazine. Lisa's blog focuses on providing you with the tips and resources for raising backyard chickens and ducks as naturally as possible. Plus, she writes about gardening, do-it-yourself crafts, and of course, cooking and baking with fresh eggs. Today's conversation, we're focusing on Lisa's love and joy of raising critically endangered magpie ducks. Welcome, Lisa. We're so excited to have you on today's show.
Hi, thanks for inviting me to be here.
You're welcome. And now first, give us the personal scoop. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what inspired you to start Fresh Eggs Daily.
Well, I actually have a background in chickens. My grandparents were chicken farmers, and I grew up across the street from their farm. And honestly, couldn't wait to get away. I went to college and moved to New York, and I thought I was done with farm life. And then, long story short, I met my husband. He was in the Navy. We moved around a bit. He retired. And we bought a farm here in Virginia. And P.S., now I'm raising chickens, which I never in a million years would have thought my life would have come full circle like that. But I really think it was meant to be because I really, really do enjoy it.
And isn't it funny how that always happens? We keep hearing this common theme in so many of our interviews on what an amazing influence first the grandparents in so many cases have had on the young kids. But then also we think that we're getting away from the farm life. And you know what? Sometimes it's just in our soul and in our blood. And with all the advice and all of your followers, I'm sure they're pretty darn grateful that your life has come full circle and you're back to farming again.
Well, I hope that I do inspire people. I mean, that's kind of the point of why I started, is just to show people that it's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of space. You don't have to live on a 500-acre farm or have 300 chickens. You know, you can do it in a backyard, have 5 chickens, and now you've got fresh eggs for your family, and it just really is a lot of fun. So that's kind of what inspired me to start the Facebook page. And then I started talking about natural things, which just made sense to me. I mean, this is what my grandparents did and how people used to raise their animals. And there wasn't that much online. There was a lot in older books, you know, written in the 50s or 60s. But online, it seemed like everything was the conventional. Give them antibiotics, you know, go to the feed store, get some medications. And that really wasn't what I wanted to do. So I started talking more about natural things, and people just really, really responded, and it's just been huge. I mean, the amount of followers in less than 4 years who I think really are interested in doing things as naturally as they can, because it's just healthier for their families and for their animals.
Exactly. And what's nice to see is this whole local movement that's really taking shape and growing in so many communities, where people are finally taking that step back and they're recognizing how many chemicals, and you're right, the vaccines are just automatically given to every single animal. And all of that residue is transferring through into us, whether we're eating the eggs or the meat. And it's just so darn important for us to really have conversations like this about how do we raise our animals in a more natural way, so we're also going to be healthier as humans as well. And now I know you, when we were talking at the kind of like the pre-interview here, you had talked about your love of magpie ducks. So let's talk a little bit more about them and where they're from and the climate they like to live in, maybe some favorite foods, some fun stories. What can you tell us about these magpie ducks?
Well, I was first drawn to them to go back a little bit, I started raising pekins and also mallard ducks at the same time we got our first chickens about 6 years ago. That's what our feed store had, and they were really cute. And so, you know, we brought a few home with our chickens, and they are really great ducks. But I really started to look towards some of the heritage breeds because I just think that they're so beautiful, and they were bred for particular purposes, and I think that's important to keep these breeds going. So I was drawn to the magpies because they're spotted. I don't know if you don't know what one looks like. They kind of look like Dalmatian ducks. They are white with usually black or sometimes grayish blue spots on them. And I just really liked the way they look and the fact that they were bred for appearance, basically. They're also good layers, but it was pretty much just a different looking duck. So I found some hatching eggs actually from one of the Livestock Conservancy members in North Carolina, and she shipped me the hatching eggs. And my plan was to start kind of a mini flock just to do my part to keep the breed going. And I've hatched 3 batches, I believe, all girls. I have not hatched 1 drake. So my mini flock idea is not working that well. but that's my eventual plan, is to have a little flock of them. And I also have blues, the blue and white ones instead of the black and white ones, which is kind of neat. But they're ducks. So they like water, they like wetlands, they like marshy areas, they love grass, you know, they're good foragers, they like to eat earthworms. They don't need a pond. We have pools for them, and they actually swim in our horse trough that I stole from our horses. So, you know, they have access to water, but they just do fine, you know, in a backyard setting, some grass and dirt. They like cool weather. They're probably, you know, down to about 45 degrees, they're perfectly happy. They'll go swimming when it's below freezing. They have no problem. If I chip the ice on their pool, they'll hop right in. So ducks are really hardy. I mean, they're great for cold climates as well as warm climates.
Those crazy ducks. Who wants to go swimming in freezing cold water? My goodness.
They will. They will stand there on the top of the pool, you know, because it's frozen, just wondering where their water went. And then I'll, you know, chip the ice, and they just hop in, and, you know, the chickens are standing there all huddled up, cold, and the ducks are swimming. It's amazing how cold hardy they are. I mean, they're, for you living in Vermont, as you said, ducks are a great choice for a backyard flock because they are really so cold hardy.
Well, and how you were saying that you stole one of the horse troughs, we had that problem where I was raising a trio of mulefoot hogs, and they didn't want to play in their mud hole. They would keep escaping, and they'd be getting into my duck's pool. And let me tell you, my ducklings did not like sharing their pool with the piglets, because, of course, the piglets would all arrive covered in mud. They'd get in the nice, clean water, splash all around. They'd leave, and the water was all dirty. And then my ducks would protest, and nobody would get in the pool after the pigs had been there. But it was. It's so interesting to see how the animals will interact in your own individual homestead. You know, like you were saying, the chickens are all out there huddled up looking at these crazy ducks going, really? Who wants to go swimming mm-hmm. on a day like this? But now you said that you just have all female ducks. So just a whole flock of girl power at this point? No male drakes?
I do. Yes. Yeah. So all my ducks are in together right now because I'm not breeding them or anything. I have a couple other heritage breeds that I raised also, but eventually my plan is to have separate pens for each breed and have at least one drake and some ducks, and then, you know, start hatching and hopefully selling the hatching eggs and ducklings and trying to get other people to start the flocks. And I think that's one thing that I do on Facebook on my duck page, which is smaller than my chicken page. There's only about 22,000 followers on my duck page. But, you know, I show pictures of these breeds, and people are fascinated, and they ask, what breed is it? Where can I find them? What, you know, and little by little, I think more people are starting to branch out and consider some of these breeds that really do need help, because we don't want them to disappear. You know, it would just be such a shame that people have gone to so much trouble. The magpies, I believe the breed was originated back in the 1920s in Wales, and, you know, someone went to a lot of trouble to develop this breed. They're not really sure which breeds it came from, but they think the magpies are a cross between runner ducks and cayugas, you know, because they have the black. And they also stand a little more upright than some of my other ducks do. they're small ducks, and they are a bit more upright than a normal duck. So that's kind of fascinating to me, you know, that this breed has the background that it does.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that's so important to us about kicking off this podcast series for Heritage Breeds is to be getting people more and more excited and to introduce them to these different animals so they can hopefully get involved or find ways that they want to also help protect them. And now, my next question was going to be, what measures are you taking to expand the numbers? But with all girls, there aren't any measures being taken.
No. I'm going to try again this spring. You know, I can just keep trying and keep hatching. I mean, I guess at some point, I guess I could just bite the bullet and buy a drake. But I really enjoy hatching them. And one of the interesting things, in fact, for this interview, I was doing a little more research into the magpies, specific about the breed, and the ducklings do hatch out with colored fluff. So breeders who know what they're doing, when that duckling hatches, they can look at it and know if it's going to be good breeding stock, you know, for the standard of perfection, if the coloring is going to be correct. And if not, then they go ahead and sell it as, you know, a day-old duckling to someone that wants it as a pet, and they keep the best for their breeding stock. So that was really interesting to me that, you know, once I really get involved with it, I should be able to tell at hatch which ducklings might feather out to be really nice examples of the breed. They're supposed to be white ducks with a black skull cap right on the top of their head, almost like a little toupee. And then when you look at them from the back, when their wings are folded up, there should be a heart, a black heart on their back.
Nice. We're going to have to get a picture of that to show folks. That's pretty fascinating.
It is very cool. One of mine is better than the other. The one, I think, almost has a heart. If I pretend I can see a heart, but I know that, you know, there's probably better examples of it, but that's what you're going for. And I thought that, it's interesting that even really, really talented breeders, the breed is very hard to get a perfect magpie with a perfect coloring. So I thought that was kind of challenging and fun and, you know, it's something I look forward to. But they are really cute ducks, and they're, like I said, they're smallish. The ducks weigh about 5 or 6 pounds, and the drakes maybe 6 to 7 pounds. And they're really active. I mean, they're smaller than some of my other ducks. They're always on the go. They're really, really alert. You know, they seem so smart, you know, like they're always watching you and what are you doing? And they're very curious, and they're just really a fun breed. I mean, I enjoy them a lot. So I think it was a choice to kind of focus on.
They sound like they are a lot of fun to have running around the barnyard. And I also wanted to mention, you may want to check out the podcast that just went live this week with John Metzer from Metzer Farms.
Oh.
Yeah, and they're out in California. And, I mean, they're hatching out, depending upon the season, but over 10,000 of different ducklings and chicks, et cetera, each week. And they definitely will sex the birds for you. And they'll ship as few as 2 birds at a time. So you could have your male or two this spring as soon as you're ready. So just want to keep that in mind. It was a really fun interview and all that they're doing out at their hatchery as well.
I will definitely listen to that. I've chatted with John before. He's a really nice guy. And yeah, you're right. They do sex their ducks. Ducklings apparently are very easy to sex at birth. Haven't quite gotten that far. I just kind of wait, you know, until I know for sure. But apparently they are pretty easy to sex. So you have a pretty good chance that it being, you know, if you order girls, you're going to get girls. If you order the drakes, you're going to get the drakes. So that is a good point.
Just depends on how long you want to wait.
Hatchery.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So now I also wanted to mention to folks that this breed, the magpie duck, their current conservation status is critically endangered. That means that there are fewer than 500 breeding birds in the U.S. and less than 1,000 globally. So thank you, Lisa. We are so grateful for farmers like you that are devoting your time in your life to also helping to build the awareness on this breed. And as soon as you get your drakes, to also help keep this breed from going extinct.
I'll add to that 500. I mean, that's just crazy to me. I mean, 500 birds is not a lot.
It's
you know,
not.
In the whole country.
And that's why it's so important, like farmers like you and Facebook promoters like you, to be sharing with folks the pictures and the process and you hatching out the eggs. And as you're describing the personality of these magpie ducks, they just sound like so much fun. You just want to have a few of them running around the barnyard or your backyard and really enjoying who the breed is and keeping them going.
They are really fun. And my husband, he's the horse person and the duck person. And he claims that, you know, the chickens and ducks are my thing and he's not interested. But I catch him so many times when he's down, you know, doing something with the horses, he'll just stand there and watch the ducks with a little smile on his face. So I know he enjoys them too. I mean, you just can't help but laugh at ducks. They're just like little clowns. I mean, they're always just so happy. And not, I mean, magpies specifically, but really all ducks. I mean, I found that the ducks in general kind of seem to have the same personalities since they all descended from the mallard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they basically all have the same personalities with, you know, a little variation. But the magpies really are a lot of fun. And like I said, they're beautiful and they're good layers. They can lay up to 290 eggs a year, I read, which is...
Wow, that's a lot of eggs for a duck.
Yeah, that is a lot. It's more than our chickens lay. And their eggs are, they're generally white. But they can also lay blue or green. And in fact, it's interesting. I've only hatched green eggs because I really wanted to keep the green egg layers going. But I've had so many hatch out of a green egg and then go on to lay a white egg. So
they're faking you out, aren't they?
Yeah. And there's no, you know, you're not assured. And in fact, Julie Gauthier, who I got the eggs from, 1 year, who wrote Chicken Health for Dummies, I believe, and she's also a Livestock Conservancy member, I said to her, send me the greenest eggs you have, because I really, really want to get some green layers. Every one of them ended up laying white eggs once they grew up. I was like, how does that happen? And she said, there's no guarantee. She said, you have a better chance hatching a green egg layer that they're going to lay a green egg, but there's no guarantee. So there's some genetics going on there that I don't really understand.
Well, keep posting and sharing all that information, both on your blog and on Facebook. It'll be fun for all of us to follow you. And now, what inspired you? You shared a little bit about why you're raising these heritage breed ducks, but is there anything else you want to add to that of what really has you pumped up to be involved in these particular breeds?
Well, I think just like, you know, as people, if we all looked alike and thought alike and acted alike, the world would be a very boring place. And I really think that, you know, when I look out to our flock, and I have all these different breeds, and they're all beautiful in their own way for their own reasons. I mean, I just think we have to preserve that. I would really not want to look out the window and see. I think that, you know, if everyone does their part to kind of pick the one that appeals to them for whatever reason and just kind of focus on that one, I mean, we could keep all these breeds going.
Mm-hmm. And that diversity is so important. If a disease comes along or there's something that affects one particular breed, we really need the diversity of the other breeds as well.
Right.
And now, what's one of your greatest challenges being a farmer?
Oh, I would say the only challenge is predators. You know, it's a constant, relentless fight against the predators because, as an old farmer told me once, you only have to be wrong once. You know, forget to lock up your coop, forget to shut the door, miss somebody doing your head count, leave them outside. You only have to be wrong once and the predator wins, you know?
Yes.
So, and guaranteed, they come around and check every single night to make sure that you got everybody locked up and all that. So yeah, predator proofing and making sure that the pen, domestic ducks can't fly and they're pretty slow on the ground. So they really are so vulnerable. I mean, to leave them just out wandering all day on property, I'd end up losing them all. So, you know, they're in a large pen. all day, and I only let them out when I'm outside there with them and all that. So I'd say predators. I mean, if there were no predators, the duck world would be a far happier place.
And so would the ducks. It leads in nicely to our next question. What's one important piece of advice you'd like to share with someone who's thinking about becoming a duck farmer?
Yeah, definitely predators. In fact, I just read a blog this morning, one of the chicken blogs I follow, and she is coming up on a year of keeping chickens. And so she wrote kind of a, you know, dear new chicken owner, these are the things I've learned. And she said she was convinced that there were no predators. I mean, she lives, you know, in a neighborhood. She had never seen any. And in the course of a year, she's lost a chicken to a fox, an owl. She said, I didn't even know we had owls. So you can think you don't have any predators where you are. Just start raising ducks or chickens. You've got them.
Good point. Thank you for sharing that advice. And now, what are a few simple things people can do in their own life to help save these magpie ducks from extinction?
Well, obviously, they could donate to the Livestock Conservancy because your efforts are enormous. Or, you know, start your own little breed. You know, I mean, I'm nothing against mallards or any of the common breeds, but, you know, instead of going to your feed store and just buying whatever they offer, do some research. Your directory is such a great resource. I have pointed so many people there because you can put the your area in and then what you're looking for, not just ducks or chickens, but really any breed of livestock. And it'll pop up breeders all over the country that you can contact to get them. And, I mean, that's just such a great resource to find some of these rare breeds because most of them still are not being carried by the hatcheries.
So true. And thank you for that. And folks, the directory that Lisa is referring to is found over at livestockconservancy.org. And not only is there an online directory, but if you join, again, membership is very affordable, and you can also get a paper version of that directory. Or, of course, just give the ladies a call over at the office, let them know what you're thinking of, and they can certainly point you in the right direction and the right breeders to be working with.
And now, yes, and it's very affordable. I mean, not to interrupt, but,
sure.
I mean, I've bought a dozen hatching eggs of a rare breed, you know, and they're only about $18 or $20. I mean, you're not talking enormous amounts of money to raise some of these breeds. You know, which some people might think, oh, it's a rare breed, so it's going to cost me a fortune. No, it's not. It really isn't. I mean, so many of these breeders are so happy to have people interested.
Yes, and the joy, if you want to go the route of hatching out your own eggs, it is just so amazing, especially whether you've got young people in the house, or I've even done some incubator programs in nursing homes and in school programs, and it is so fascinating to watch whether it's a baby chick coming out of the egg or whether it's a duckling coming out of the egg. It's just so much fun to be involved
in. Oh, cool.
Yeah. And now, Lisa, as we're wrapping up the interview, please share with our listeners, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Well, my blog is fresheggsdaily.com, and I also have a Facebook page, Duck Eggs Daily, and then my chicken page is Fresh Eggs Daily. Or people can email me at fresheggsdaily@gmail.com. You know, if you have a specific question that you either didn't feel comfortable leaving on the Facebook page, or I miss a lot. I mean, I admit it. You know, the page has just grown so fast, I can't keep up with all of it. So if you do ask a question and it doesn't get answered on Facebook, you can always send me an email.
Very good point. And yes, with over 410, and actually you're pretty close to 411,000 Facebook followers, I can see where that would be a lot to manage every day. But how exciting that you are serving and connecting and helping so many people understand the joy of living a more natural lifestyle. I think it's just absolutely amazing what you've been doing. And we're proud over at the Conservancy where we've got over 20,000 followers, but we're really looking forward to growing those numbers as well so we can be sharing all of these messages with folks and getting them more excited about these historic breeds.
I agree. And I definitely look forward to helping you do that because I just think it's something that makes you feel so good, you know, just raising the animals, but knowing that you're feeding your family healthier and also helping breeds that really do need help.
It is. And folks, I really encourage you to check out Lisa's website. I'll put a link over on our show notes page. The site again is fresheggsdaily.com. And again, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, CJ.
And listeners, remember to head over to heritagebreeds.org. You'll be able to listen to additional episodes of this show, plus for more information and access to the directory of all the heritage breeds we were talking about, go to livestockconservancy.org. Again, thank you folks so much for your interest in these historic breeds. We look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Thank you again for joining us today at Heritage Breeds. We hope this podcast has inspired you to learn more about the animals, breeders, and people working to save them from extinction. Visit heritagebreeds.org and livestockconservancy.org to discover more and get involved. Also, be sure to pick up a copy of the Livestock Conservancy's book, An Introduction to Heritage Breeds. This is a must-have guide for raising and saving heritage breeds. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you in the next episode.